This evening, we're going to continue with what we spoke about this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 23. There's one portion that we didn't finish. And just before we read, and I want to say thank you again for the invitation. Thank you for to the elders here. And I count it as a privilege also to have my brother-in-law and his wife,
JJ.
I think he's somewhere, yeah? Oh, there he's over there. Ah. Thank you so much for coming, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a blessing to me.
Yeah. What's his nickname?
Who?
Clint.
Clint?
Yeah, what's his nickname?
He's got plenty.
Tell us a few.
Because, Clint is never, he sits down, like, he can't sit that for 5 minutes or... So his nickname is the Wildebeest. But it's much better in Zulu because we say Inkonkoni.
What does it do?
If you see the wildebeest, you know, whenever it gets into the water and the water's, you know, there are crocodiles there, it just jumps and kicks and jumps and it's on the other side, boy. The crocodiles, they don't get it easily. That's the wildebeest here. 7 people, 1 savior. Part 2. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. It's the one we read this morning, but just want to finish up the other portion of it. Jesus said to the criminal, the thief, he said, "Don't worry, I will be with you today. You will join me in paradise." And this is what we want to focus this evening, which is 7 people, 1 savior, part 2. Don't worry, you will be with me today. Friends, for us to understand what Jesus meant, we have to get into what was happening in that picture on the cross so that we can understand what was happening that time. And we know paradise is a place where all of us were supposed to be going. All of us who were lost were supposed to be going. All of us supposed to spend our life in paradise. And in most cases, when we do wrong things, our God who's so gracious, our God who's so merciful, he doesn't give us what we deserve, but he gives us something that we don't deserve, paradise. You will be with me. It's an assured thing that's going to happen. Tonight, you're going to be with me in paradise. That meant the person, for a few minutes, he was going to enter in. We don't want to create another doctrine that you don't have to do, like we saw the baptism, like some of the things that happen when a person gets saved. We don't want to create a doctrine because of this criminal that got saved at the cross. But we want to acknowledge God's power. When someone says, "Have mercy on me," when someone says, "Remember me," God just opens the gates. And the gates will be opened even tonight when someone cries and says, "Jesus, remember me." Yeah, open gate. Get in now. Not tomorrow, not next year. Now. Friends, it is said that in most cases, most of the people, when the door is opened, they don't enter. Do you know that fowl, we call it in Zulu, lamtutu? Lamtutu is a... No. Lamtutu is a fowl that they sell them, those white ones, they sort of grow them a few weeks and they're ready to be slaughtered. Do you know them? Do you know those fowls? Those chickens, a few weeks, I mean, they're ready to be slaughtered and be sold. If you have them and you put them in a cage, and you open the cage, they'll never come out from that cage. They won't come out. I feel tonight there are some of the people, when God opens the door, when God's opened the heavenly door, said, enter, they're still... Have you watched some people when someone is talking about someone says, would you come here, please? And it says, me? Yeah, you saw their finger. And you... and you saw my eyes. Unless my eyes were more like that, you know? The door is open. Today you're going to be with me. What is it? Justification just happened there. Sins were forgiven. Redemption took place. So many things just happened that moment, that time. Friends, we must understand, when God does something, he does it completely. And it's done, it's dealt with, it's finished. We are the ones who are having problems to analyze and try to ask some questions that are necessary questions in most cases. Did he go to church? Was he baptized? I don't mean that we're going to stop baptizing people, but we have so many questions when something happens, and we want everything to happen the same way, of which God does not work the same way, because our God is a creative God. He's still creating even today. And we have the Spirit of God. The creative Spirit of God lives in us. Justification, redemption, all happen one time. The door is open. Get in. This is the message about this person who got saved on the cross. The door is open. Get in. I heard you when you cried. It's more like Jesus was saying it, that I'm going to be with you. You're going to be part of my family. You're going to be part of what I'm doing. Now get in so that you can enjoy and be part of this big, huge family like us here. Wouldn't you like to be one of those that invited like this person? Let me make illustration, because sometimes when there's no illustration, you don't get it right. And you hear the message, but it doesn't sink deep down. Sorry, I have to call my son again. I have to call my son. Friends, this is Elijah Sibusi Sonjika. He's my son. We can do it, huh? We can do it. It's amazing. It's not my biological son. But there's something of the DNA deep down in me that has been transferred to him. God does a miracle. That's something that no one can do it. When he transfers some of the things into us, when we say, remember me. And he said, yes, you can be my child. You can be my daughter. You can be my son. You heard this morning how his mom left him beside the road in the back streets of Pinetown. He was left there to die. I don't think there was any future. I don't think he could cry loud so that anyone was passing by could hear him. We don't know for how many hours he was lying down there. I don't think he had any dream as a little baby lying down there, of which there are some of the people that might be here. No dream. You left to die. If someone can ask you in 5 years where you're going to be, you don't know. But friends, tonight, the door is wide open. Tonight, today, you can be with me in paradise. Perhaps helpless. Perhaps even the cry is not that loud enough to utter some of the words. Maybe crying, "Mommy, Mommy." But just crying, looking for help. Thank God for that gentleman that was walking by and he saw this little baby lying down there. Thank God that there are some of the men who are used by God are coming on your path. Thank God for those who have eyes to look around and see those that are helpless. Those that are just about to die. Thank God for those who are willing to stop and said, "I felt something. I hear something. It's not clear what is that, but I'm going to stop anyway." Thank God for those who have the heart to help no matter what. Thank God for those who are willing to stop on their journey and be willing to give a hand. Those are some of the people that brought us to the Lord. Some of the people that have been begging us, said, "Please go and worship God." Because in that, they're going to show us that the door is wide open for us to enter. We enter into something that has been prepared for us. We enter into something that God had intended long time ago. We don't enter into something that perhaps we have planned for it, but it's because of the love of God. God cares so much, so much, that he has the best for us. Elijah was taken to the police station. Elijah was taken to a home in Pine Town. And Elijah was taken to another home in Durban. Let me put it in this way again. About the same time when he was born, it was about the same time after leading a church for 18 years that God said, "Now we must hand over the church." About the same time. And go where? Go to Durban. And leave the South Coast about the same time. God's dealing are beyond human mind to comprehend and understand what is happening. Don't look down into anything that happens. Take note. God is saying something. God is leading someone. When we saw him first time, nothing happened until there was an opening of that house in Durban, and I felt God was saying something. My wife felt God was saying, "This is your son." Our daughter is not here tonight, but she had a dream. She had a dream that we were adopting, but we only heard about that after everything. We prepared ourselves to adopt Elijah by that time. Just trying to make you understand, this thief, criminal, didn't belong to that family. But that night, that afternoon, was adopted into God's own family. We didn't fully understand all the processes that are supposed to happen, but I remember when we went to court, to the children's court, I remember the questions they asked us. I remember those forms that we were filling. I remember sending some of the first applications into Pretoria, here in Pretoria. God went to an extent just to see you entering the place that he has opened for you, paradise. Got him, the first thing said, as you heard this morning, Rory was saying, Tulani, his name, the name that was given by the social worker, said, no, it's not a good name for him. Imagine saying Tulani, keep quiet, Tulani. We don't want that. It's going to be Elijah, one of the prophets. Friends, I believe the name of that criminal, he was known as a criminal, as a thief. I believe that afternoon when he said, Lord, remember me, I believe his name was changed. Say, ma'am, your name could be changed tonight. When you come to Jesus, he changes people's names. When people know you as a thief, he changes you. When you've been known as a prostitute, Jesus changes you. When you've been robbing the government money or the SARS, God can change your name. When no one trusted you, God can turn things around and change your name. When everyone, when they see you, they point and say, hey, look at him. God can change that. It doesn't matter what you've done in the society, but when you come to Jesus, when you come to him, he changes your name. He gives you the best name, a child of God. Best name they can ever have, a child of God. I remember some of the times when Elijah was at home, and then we said, this is your home, and then he grows up, he understands, he's got his own room. Friends, you have your own space in God. You say, Lord, remember, he gives you space in his house. I'll hate to see Elijah walking with heads down in my house. I'll hate to hear people calling an orphan. He's not an orphan. He is my child. He's got a father. As you heard Rory speaking this morning, at home in Port Shepstone, I still have a house there. I'm not afraid to say some of the things are, his name is there in the village. As the Sonjika, a fully Sonjika. His name is there. God wants to put your name in some of the things that are not there yet for you, so that you can take hold of them. Those are your things. They're waiting for you. Most of the Christians that I met, you find themselves living as orphans. The way they think, the way they do things, as if they're orphans. You're not an orphan, you're a child of God. The moment you said yes to him, you become his child. You have to rise up. You have to rise up and take your stand that I am a child of God. The gate has been opened for me. I'm entering in. I want to be there with my father inside there. Because he loves us, because he cares, justified, redeemed by the blood, and now you become the child of God. I'm going to ask for a microphone. I'm going to ask Elijah to share some of his struggles as an adopted child.
So one of the things I struggled with when I was adopted is, it was, one of the things I struggled with was unforgiveness. I had a grudge against my mother for abandoning me. And there were many prophetic words that were spoken over my life, and those words meant nothing to me because I was still living in the past, and I hadn't, there was no transformation in my mind that now I've been adopted, now I'm a son of such an amazing father, such an amazing mother, and such an amazing son of the King of Kings. And I would like to encourage us this evening that whatever we go through, we must really put those things behind us. We must really put the past behind us, because we don't want those things crippling our future. We don't want to regret, why didn't we walk in the plans that God had for us back then? So I'd just like to encourage us to leave those things behind and carry on with the destiny that God gave us.
There's some of the things that we have to deal with them as Christians, as those who said yes to Jesus. And sometimes those things, they hold us back. Like unforgiveness, as you had Elijah, can hold you. You find that in your walk with the Lord, you're no longer walking because you can't forgive. You know, when Paul wrote Pauline epistles, there was a reason behind all those books. He didn't just feel like writing 1 Corinthians and saying, and just write and write Ephesians and write Colossians and write all those. He didn't just feel like there was something that was happening in the church, and he was trying to correct that. Anyone who comes and stands here is because there's a reason in the congregation. There's something that is happening and people are not understanding it. And you have somehow, with the word of God, bring the truth, bring life, so that everyone can grasp what God has for each and every person. Unforgiveness can hinder even the blessings of God and some of the things that God wants to do, even here in South Africa. Just people's hearts are so tight they don't want to forgive. And you're no longer walking in the way that you should be walking. So remember those papers, so many papers when you adopt a child, there's so many papers holding on to them. Holding on to them. Keep on reading them. Elijah, Smusiso, Sonjika. Those papers, holding on to them. Friends, we have some papers that have been given to us. If you're doubting whether you are a child of God or you're not a child, go and look into the papers. Your name, whatever that God has said about you, it's written in the book here, in the Bible. Those papers. This is the book. These are the letters of adoption for you to be the child of God. It's written how you should live your life. When Elijah comes, he comes in into the new culture that he didn't know before. He comes to new values that he didn't know. He comes to the ethos that we have in our family, how we do things. He comes to that because he didn't know that before. He has to submit to that, the way we speak, the way we do things. He comes to that. Friends, for each and every person who has said, remember me, it changes the culture. We can't keep on saying now, I'm a Zulu. I'm gonna leave this Zulu culture. The Zulu culture, if it defiles the word of God, you have to check it out. Brilliant. Africans culture, if it defiles the word of God, we have to check it out and come to the new culture, the kingdom culture. We have to walk this walk because Jesus has opened the door for us to enter in and walk the door. We don't have to doubt anything. Heaven is ours because Jesus has said, tonight, you'll be with me. Be with me. I've watched him. Goes to the fridge, opens the fridge. He's 16, you know, the 16-year-old. Cheese, eggs, yogurt. Goes, boy. So many blessings that God has for us. Beautiful. Open that fridge, friends. Open that fridge. It's being stocked there just for you. It's yours. My friend was talking about Mephibosheth. You know Mephibosheth in the Old Testament? When David says, is anyone left in the house of Saul? And they said, yes, there's one person, Mephibosheth is crippled. Said, fetch him. My friend was talking about Mephibosheth. He said, I imagine Mephibosheth comes into the royal palace and there's plenty of everything. Plenty of every food. You name it, plenty. It's a royal palace. But he comes from another place, Lodibar. He comes from down there. And then he sees some of the nice things. And my friend was saying, Murphy, don't, it's yours. Don't steal, it's yours, take it, it's yours. There's some other things we faced before. Say, is anyone who sees me? It's yours. You're not used to this lifestyle, but it's yours. Because the door is open, it's yours. Leave it freely, knowing that you're now a child of God. Remember me. Today, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to sit. Just imagine sitting next to Jesus every time. Sitting and he talks. Sitting next to you. He wants to do that. Sorry, friends, to talk about my family, but ask him to wash the car. Elijah, go and wash the car. Okay, Dad, takes a bucket and he washes the car. Finished washing the car. Thank you, Dad, for allowing me to wash the car. Elijah, would you take the rubbish to the road? Takes the rubbish, plastic bag, next to the road because they're coming. Comes back. Thanks, Dad, for allowing me to take the rubbish to the road. Anything. Elijah, come. Let's take a drive with me. Coming back. Thanks, Dad, for allowing me to come with you on the ride. For anything, I've never seen someone who appreciates and he keeps on saying, thank you for anything. Friends, that's our lifestyle. That's our lifestyle. The only thing that should be in us, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Waking up, breathing, thank you, Jesus. And then we eat, thank you, Jesus. We get in the car, thank you, Jesus. It should be thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because we live appreciating what he has done for us. Welcome us in. You are a child of God. Today, going to be with him in paradise if you allow him. It's up to you.